This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Industrial policy. I welcome Veronique de Regis of the Mercatus Center to introduce us to who wins on an election day. Industrial policy. Republicans, Democrats, industrial policy. Veronique, a very good evening to you. You've guided me to this despairing note for years, usually on the basis of Boeing, which has had a private bank called the Export-Import Bank since the days of Joseph Stalin and FDR, and continues despite the fact that Boeing is now a profoundly troubled company that's going to be broken up in pieces. And having settled a strike, it is now part of the problem of industrial policy. You also introduce us in your latest Creators column, to Creators Syndicate column, to Intel. What is industrial policy that it seems to always be associated with companies going in the wrong direction? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. You know, I think it is the functioning of government, how it works, the incentives that exist within governments, and the incentive from the outside and the pressure that are put on politicians that explains that ultimately, rather than pursue policies that are, you know, beneficial for everyone, a lot of what the government does is extending government-granted privilege to a few special interests. And there's like no one more eager to actually get subsidies and tax breaks and stuff like this than companies. And I think this is why we get a lot of this. And we have gotten a lot of what we call, you know, cronyism and corporate welfare. But industrial policy actually goes beyond, right? It's not just giving handouts to special interests. It's actually giving handouts to special interests in the corporate world with in mind a special national order. And that kind of, we had lost the taste for this. And in the last 8 years, we've regained it, and on both sides.
I'm looking at Intel, the most recent industrial policy company to go on hard times. And I'm noting a quote in your piece, strategically important. In other words, too strategically important to be allowed to fail. Is that the same case they've made about Boeing over the decades that it's been a favorite of Congress? We can't let it fail?
Yeah, there's this like, so in this case, the industrial policy that the Biden administration put in place, and it was supported by some Republicans, is one to give loads of subsidies to companies that were going to probably do those things to build fabs, semiconductor fabs in the U.S., right? And Intel is one of them. And what happens is like Intel is the biggest beneficiary of the CHIP Act. And it's also coming on a hard time. And the Boeing has been a national champion for decades and decades. And it has become very obvious that as Boeing is starting to have a lot of problems, a lot of the time by its own doing, right? There is this kind of understanding that it's just our national champion and we can let it go. And unfortunately, I think the same is going to be happening with Intel. And it's not that Intel is in a situation where it's going to go under, but it does have trouble. And one of the problems with industrial policy is that it picks winners. It invests a lot on some companies to do some things. And if these companies, for instance, because they divert a lot of their attention to actually getting those subsidies or the subsidies come with string attached that make their doing business less efficient and they're starting having problems, then it's a vicious cycle where then politicians feel they have to prop up these companies further.
Now, you have another example that's so outrageous, it's hard to believe it's not make-believe. I follow your news. The Environmental Protection Agency gave $3 billion in the so-called Clean Ports Program. They took the money from the Inflation Reduction Act. And the condition is that the ports do not use automation. Do I read that correctly? That's incredible. They're telling the ports of America that you've got to stay in the 20th century and not compete with China.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, unless the articles and how that they are, the few articles that reported it made a mistake. It is real, and I think it echoes the recent strike at the ports. Right, one of the problem that the unions was having with ports is that ports have an incentive to become more and more efficient. I mean, U.S. ports are remarkably inefficient, and that means to automate more, and they fear that it means using fewer people. And so the Biden administration, being very, very in tune with its union bosses, I guess made the decision that the string attached to this clean energy port grant subsidy of $3 billion, it's not nothing, would come with a string attached that was a direct favor to unions and called for the lack of automation, which is just, as taxpayers, we should be really annoyed.
And now we come to the real question about whose decision is this? What I take from your presentation is that it doesn't matter what party it is. Doesn't matter whether you think of yourself as a progressive or a conservative in whatever party you're participating in. You in Congress supports industrial policy cycle after cycle. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, it's recent. It's the last 8 years. I think industrial policy is going to go in the same way as it ended up going in the 90s, and because it just doesn't work, in large part because reorganizing the national resources in a way that is dictated by some kind of some goal it usually just doesn't give the best results. It's a new thing that we thought was dead, and it really is part, for different reason, of both parties. I mean, the Biden administration certainly pursued a lot of industrial policy, and it's not new. The Obama administration pursued that too. Green energy, semiconductors are some of them. And we've seen it just doesn't work that great, in part because you force, for instance, even with semiconductors that a lot of Republicans like, you force a lot of resources into doing something, usually trying to do it faster and bigger than the market forces would want to, and then you're forced with real problems. For instance, labor shortages. Also, when there are requirements that you hire your labor forces be union members, that adds to the problem. And there's all sorts of problems. So we see, for instance, the CHIP Act's implementation is really not going great. Same is with the green transition, and like they're trying to force auto company with subsidies to actually and mandates to transition to EVs, and consumers, this is not what they want. So effectively, the car companies are basically pausing what they're doing. The transition, they're like, we can't do this. This is just like forcing us to spend a lot of money on a transition that people don't want. And that's the problem when things are decided on by, from the top.
This conversation has been very fair-minded, because I remind everyone, an older name for industrial policy was central planning. Veronique Tourigy is the George Kipps Chair in Political Economy and a Senior Research Fellow at the Mercatus Center, George Mason University. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.